What's up, Mother Suckers? Welcome to another episode of Mother Sucker Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Blackson. I'm never alone. I'm here with a strange-looking nigga.
Hey, thanks for listening again to Mother Sucker Podcast, whoever you are.
All right, so my nigga Dave Chappelle, of course, more problem.
Yeah.
The transgender community is trying to transgress against Dave Chappelle and Netflix because of his special. They want the special to be transferred off the network. And they feel like it's transphobic. But Netflix said, we believe in Dave.
Whoa.
Also, Dave said he's willing to talk to them because he feels they translated his message wrong. So a lot of trans happened in this conversation.
There's a lot of translations in there.
Yeah, a lot of transgenders, yeah. And the transgress and the
talking
transferred about trans. And yeah. Then transphobic and of course transform, and then everybody got mistranslated.
That's a lot of trans.
Everything. So
now it remind me, I need a new transmission in my car.
Yeah, and I need to transfer some money from my check and my savings in my check, so I don't bounce a check. And I also need to transform our guests onto the show, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I was telling Tyo, my man, I was like, he was FaceTiming you the other day, and I heard you like talk. I was like, this nigga really just can talk regular sometimes.
Yes, I can talk regular
like,
sometimes.
Because next Friday is all I know. That's like embedded
I know,
in
I don't
my
fuck
mind.
Up
the, and
I don't
like,
fuck up his fucking imagination of me, motherfucker.
Mike, can you say the next Friday again for the fans? When you walk into the door of the DCD place?
That's my shit right there.
What is this? This is whack. I can't get jiggy with this shit. Where's your manager, that pink motherfucker? You look like that player hater who sold me this shit. I have no damn receipt. Kiss my ass, so what? Oh shit, please don't hit me. I'm just a bitch ass nigga.
You ain't even. And I don't got no damn receipt.
And I have no damn receipt. Kiss my ass or what? Exactly. You know you are fucking with. Try again, motherfucker. That's my tutu. Try again, motherfucker. It's an ugly nigga. Try again. I go post on this, motherfucker.
I'm honored to be a part of this. This is my first time doing anything like interview white podcast. I'm just this crazy that it's with you. I appreciate it. I'm honored for sure.
Don't worry. It's all good.
Definitely.
Man. You turn these lights off, I ain't going to be here.
Most definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen. My Nigerian buddy, Dulo's in the building, motherfucker.
Get Dulo, enough.
Dulo! Where you find these fucking videos at that you fucking put like a voiceover over them?
Hey, to be honest, like I don't find them.
People send them to you?
Yeah, they find me now. You know what I mean? That's what I said. People ask me how to find them, so they find me. And for me, like when people find them, like I used to love freaking America's Funniest Home Videos.
Okay.
All right, and I also used to love, even before social media in general, no social media. If you guys remember Mad Libs, they used to be on YouTube. These people, they would do like voiceovers, real funny fucking voiceovers to mainly sports shit.
Okay.
Football coaches, you know, flipping out on players or whatever have you. Exactly. So, you know, when I got to, I was doing skits as well, and I was still blending skits as well. But like when people send me these videos to do that, I just get into the mind frame. You know, it's a really, one day you guys will see the process.
That's a fucking, that's talent. It's a very mind of those animals, whatever it is.
If I was to watch myself, I know I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
You know what? You'll be really good, like voiceover for animation.
Hey, listen, you're the one with the connections. Like me, man, who's cooking, who's frying chicken?
Definitely. All right, I'll keep my ears open. Because when I listen to that shit, I'm like, God damn, I see so much animation movie like fucking Lion King. I'm like, God, imagine had this voice in there coming up with your own lines, because these are all your comedic lines.
Mm-hmm. In fact, like you mentioned that, I just recently did a independent, I guess you would say, voiceover character. I did like four voiceovers for an independent cartoon that's coming out, right? You guys will see the pilot for it soon. And it's not for children. This is like Adult Swim type of, African blended type of situation. So you guys keep a lookout for that for sure.
Oh, that's what's up. Congratulations on that. Ooh. Chinese Best, what you got going on in your life?
I want to be a voice of some cartoon, Matu Mike. Are they hiring any Chinese in the African shows?
That's easy. That's easy, man. I went to this restaurant. It was actually Chinese people cooking Ghanaian food.
Not the fuck. Where?
I'm not even joking. This is, where was this? I was just in Nebraska.
It happened in Nebraska.
Oh. Yeah, there was a Chinese person
in
there cooking
that. That's fucked up, man. Y'all niggas trying to take over every fucking thing.
That's my restaurant.
I mean, they own the roads in Ghana. I heard that, they own the roads in Ghana. So is that not true?
Chinese fucking down. You cooking African food? What the fuck? What's next? They're going to stop fucking our women too, Chinese best friend?
Yeah, I think they're already doing
that. They're already doing that in Ghana, man. I've seen that. The
documentary.
They have
their own road.
That's why I'm fucking.
Don't worry, Mike.
That's
why
I'm fucking an Asian
Blackson
too, motherfucker.
Street.
I'm fucking y'all back, motherfucker. I got a whole Asian woman. I'm gonna give us a bunch of little Tiger Woods, motherfucker.
Mike, we're gonna make sure there's a Madasaka Highway in Ghana, okay?
I appreciate that, yeah, man.
If you hey, Ghana. No, I said Ghana.
Ghana.
I just call you Ghana.
It's okay. I took
hey,
Ghana.
Hey, Mike, tell me
I'll
about
call you Nigeria. Mike.
That's totally fine. Please tell me about that. The school that you're building in. Please and thank you.
Yeah.
I seen the pictures of that.
Yes, yeah. I'm
did they have you digging? Are you the one digging? Were you digging with your hands?
I ain't digging shit out there, man.
Damn, you're supposed to wash your hands after you help dig, man. But go ahead.
I did not dig shit. Nah, I am building a school in my village. You know, my mother, you know, this little village my mother was born in. What really inspired me to build the school was I came to the States late 80s, sometime 86, 87. I didn't go back to Ghana. I didn't go back to Africa, period, till like 2000. Like 15 years later, I went back. And when I went back, I went to the village where I was born. And I'm like, things were still the same. I'm like, why are things still the same? You know, yeah. Why are kids, and the kids are like a bunch of kids doing, this is school days, school hours. There are kids in the marketplace helping their mother sell shit. And I'm like, why are these 7, 8-year-old kids working? Like, who hired these niggas? So I'm like, okay, you know what? Then I get to find out. I'm like, why they not in school? They're not in school because the public school, which is known as government school,
yeah,
which is free at that moment. I'm not sure. Things have changed now. Ain't shit free no more. But back then, those schools were free. And those fill up really fast. The free shit always fill up. It's like you go, you know, in America, you go to the welfare line, all the welfare office always packed, right? Because niggas like free shit. So the free shit always fills up. And the kids that are left, they can't afford private school. So then, what I did, I went to one of the local elementary school to find out what school was going for, how much it cost to go to school. So I found out it cost like $80 for the whole year. I'm like, $80? Wow. And this was in 2000. I'm like, we spend this shit at the bar.
Yeah.
So I remember next day, I went back to the marketplace, saw them same fucking kids. I talked to their parents. I was like, I'm going to pay put your four kids in school for the year. You know what I mean? And then from there, I would try to help every year. I would try to help get these, keep, I mean, what? 8 years of schooling will cost but a couple of grand. So I went and did that. And after that, I said to myself, I got to do something about this. And I always had in my mind, I got to build a school. But it's not an easy thing to do. You know, it's come with a lot of responsibility. But then I finally, like right before COVID, I decided, you know what? Fuck trying to put every kid in school. How about I just build a home school and make it free and give a scholarship to the kids?
You're a good man, Michael Blackson. Yeah.
What's up, Madasokas? This is your African King of Comedy, Michael Blackson. I'm here to ask you a question. Are you subscribed to my podcast, The Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson? If not, you are missing out on the crazy interviews, the exclusive behind-the-scenes content of my life, and tons of VIP celebrity guests. So listen up, Mother Sucker. Stop what you are doing right now and go find The Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe is free, so go do it right now. And don't forget to catch a new episode every Tuesday.
94. Back then in 94, the only way you'll get famous, you got to find a way to get on TV. The only TV we had back then was BET Comic View. BET Comic View just started.
Wow.
So we had to, because BET Comic View knew they were the only way of getting any comedian famous, or they took advantage of us.
Like what?
To get on BET Comic View, you had to first you had to be selected to get on. So once you get selected, then you have to find your way to LA. Man, y'all live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You have to find your way to LA, get your own hotel.
Get your own hotel.
Get your own flight, your own hotel. And then 3 weeks after you shoot the show, you'll get a check for $150.
Wow.
So I came to do Comic View for -$580. I lost money trying to make money.
Wow.
You know, but then what happened was you get on TV. And then once you're on TV, then people get to see
it,
you.
Huh?
Like, okay, now they're going to book you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, I went from making like $50 or $100 to like $500, you know.
Wow.
And then when I did Next Friday, then I went from like $500 to $2,500. And then keep going. So television is kind of like what we had back then. But we didn't have social media to try our jokes out.
Yeah.
These guys could just do a video. If the video is funny, I'm
going
to put that shit into a material. You know, but we didn't have that. We had to go to open mic night. You have to go get in line. And open mic was a night where amateurs perform or professionals would go on stage just to like perfect their new act they're trying to do. So like in Philadelphia, where I started, one club is like first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get a good number, do they allow the first 20 people? So you get to pick your own number when you want to go on. So if you want to pick your own number, show start at 7 o'clock. You want to be there like 4 p.m. Get in line. That way you pick a good number. Like a good number be like any number between like 5 to like 13 is good. Because you go on number 1, not enough crowd. If you go number 20, everybody already left.
Oh.
So that was one club. But the other club, you go line up, and then after you write your name down, they would give you a number according to how well they know you. So I remember my first night at this particular club, they didn't know me. I went on last. By the time I got on stage, it was like 6 comedians left. So I'm performing No audience. They already got tired. I'm performing for 6 comedians. And they told me that, hey, I think you got what it takes to make it. Because I was hoping the fucking audience was there. But instead, it's like other comedians like, you know, Mike, I think you got it. And that's how I just kept going and kept going.
Yeah, I think that's dope, man. You know, a lot of comedians, they don't bring the same energy when they see like, you know, there's less people there or so on and so forth, crowd as you're expecting. So I think that's extremely dope.
Definitely,
that
man. If you're a comic, 110%
right there, and then you always, know, that gave you, you that never encouragement. Know.
That first impression, it don't matter where you are, give them the best fucking show you could. You never know who that one person is or that's 2-3 people are. You're wherever you're performing, don't ever give all you have, regardless. Believe it or not, I mean, I performed for like 10,000 people recently. I'm on that Martin Lawrence tour. So we've seen like 10,000-15,000 people. But my favorite audience is 300 people. That intimacy, crowd, right there in your face, where you get to like feel loose. Because when it's 15,000, it's, don't get it wrong, it's more pressure. Like, okay, now I got, you know, compared to like 300 people, you feel more comfortable. You know, but was it 5 people or 10 people? Give those 10 people your best show ever, because you never know who those 10 people are.
I heard rappers get all the respect on the streets and singers get all the pussy in the sheets.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing.
And that was part of the reason of the switch. For sure. That was part of the reason for sure.
Keep it real.
But yeah, I'm in it now. It's been cool. It's been great, especially moving out to LA. I've especially seen the increase in everything I've been doing since I've been out here. So I'm fucking with it for sure.
It's so crazy. I was reading something today that Meek had posted up. You saw that thing Meek posted about something like he not sure where his record money been going. Like something he posted about the record business. How, you know, he poured his record out, but he ain't seen no record money. You know, so I mean that's been going on for ages. I mean, everybody got burned, from Michael Jackson to Tito Jackson to everybody has been burned when
Janet
it comes to
Jackson.
They look like artists make most of their money from live performance. I mean, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know how much y'all really make from. But it's different now, because now it's like downloads, and you could like kind of like do your own thing now.
Yeah, for sure.
You go independent and, you know, put your own shit out. But back then, you needed like a record company back then to like, you know, get you to that next level, and they took advantage. You know, so
yeah, not anymore.
I mean, how you getting your music out there?
I'm getting it out fully independently now, so I don't even know how the record label shit go.
Okay,
not seeing
good.
Your money, so I see everything from my music. But really, it's about where your grind at right now, like what you doing, what your brand pushing, and how much you selling on your brand. Like, I'm thinking of different avenues for my brand right now as far as like the music, and I got a dog that gets me like 1 million views on TikTok and YouTube and shit. Selling plants and just thing that go along with my brand, because I also farm as well. I've been farming for like 2 years with some of my friends, so I'm like real into nature and like gardening and shit. So
yeah,
I'm,
nigga,
like,
y'all growing tomatoes, motherfucker?
They got a green thumb.
We ain't growing
hair,
no like damn tomatoes. No, we growing weed. It's cannabis farm. growing no tomatoes.
I'm just trying to make a snitch on yourself, motherfucker.
But with that, with the cannabis farms, I've learned how to cultivate tomatoes and vegetables and fruit and all that shit and survive off grid and a lot of things I didn't know before being out there. So I'm just trying to incorporate all that shit into my brand, because that's what the music business and just having a brand is about now, what your grind is, and because you're not going to like Meek, you ain't gonna see a lot. If you get to that level from your shit, it's about what else you selling, the shows, the merch, and all the other shit. So that's what me and my team is working on right now, tightening shit up.
And that's the great thing about social media now, where social media is pretty much your own platform. This is your own TV show, your own network. You know, you build your own audience, and when you make something, you got someone to sell it to.
Yeah, you can blow up overnight.
You don't need nobody anymore. Just build an audience, and if your shit is good, it will support you.
The Mother Sucker Podcast with me, Michael Blackson, is a Calvary Audio production brought to you by AHA Radio and the Black Effect Podcast Network. Produced by Brendan Morgan of Calvary Audio and A. King for the Black Effect. Associate producer is Jeff Apple. Executive produced by Michael Blackson, Keegan Rosenberger, and Dana Brunetti.